Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying John chapter 10, and today we begin with verse 22. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles. Chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, verse 22. It was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep." This feast of dedication is found nowhere in the Old Testament. It is found, however, in the book of Maccabees, one of the historical books. It concerns a celebration of the cleansing of the temple following its pollution by a Syrian ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes. It takes place in December, approximately, December the 22nd. Now it tells us that Jesus was walking in the portico of Solomon's temple. It was a roofed area around the temple, primarily to the front or the east side. Why was he walking there? Well, John tells us it was winter, and it rains in the winter, so that may be one of the reasons why he was walking in the portico. But that's not too important here. What is important is how the Jews try to trap him, so they surround him here, asking a question. They've encircled him, and they're serious. They confront him with this question: "How long will you keep us in suspense?" And I think they asked it with hostility. They said, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, literally, in the Greek, they said it another way, and it doesn't make much sense literally, but here it is in verse 24. "Until when do you lift up or take away our soul?" You see, that doesn't make much sense. Well, this was probably a way of speaking, and we have ways of speaking that someone from another country wouldn't fully understand, and we explain our expressions to him. We often say, "How long are you going to keep us hanging?" You've heard that expression, and that seems to be a pretty good interpretation of what we have here, because it says, "lifting up of the soul." That kind of leaves you hanging there. That's one popular interpretation of this. What are they really asking? They are asking for a formal declaration or an announcement of whether he is really the Christ. And they want it so formal that perhaps they could use it against him. You see, the Jews believed that the Christ, when he came, would be more than a spiritual leader. He would also be a political leader. And they also knew that anybody who would rise up to threaten the Roman government would be dealt with harshly by the Romans. So perhaps here they were trying to entrap him by getting him to make a formal declaration so they could quote him to the Romans and have plenty of witnesses and had Jesus done away with by the Romans. So they say, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." The word Christ is the Greek equivalent of Messiah, which is a Hebrew word. And both of these words mean the Anointed One. So when we talk about the Christ, we are talking about the Anointed One of whom the prophets in the Old Testament spoke. God did speak about an anointed person who would be sent into the world. Now, was their question fair? "Why do you keep us in suspense?" they're asking. Had Jesus been secretive about his identity? Well, throughout his ministry, as we have seen, just studying the Gospel of John alone, Jesus had boldly declared himself to be equal to God. He did speak plainly. Consider John chapter 5, verse 46. "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." Now that should have gotten the Jews' attention. And if they were really serious about finding truth, When Jesus said that about Moses writing about him, they should have said, he did? Where? Well, Jesus could have taken them right to Deuteronomy chapter 18, for Moses talked about the prophet who would be sent, and how the people should listen to him and no longer listen to Moses. That's the Anointed One, the great prophet. And then in John chapter 6, we saw this in verse 29. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. God sent this one, and Jesus is the one. And if you want to work for God, Jesus said, believe in the one God has sent. Implied is that God will accept that faith as your work. That's strong teaching. In John chapter 5, he also declared that he was equal with the Father. That's plain speech. He said he could raise the dead just like the Father did, and that all judgment was committed to him. Jesus, you see, often spoke plainly. As for his origin, he said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He claimed that God sent him. They believed that God had sent prophets, and they showed respect to the prophets, but here's one that God has sent, and they're not showing him any respect. Well, the question is, did he prove that he was sent by God? Well, he claimed that everything he said was what God told him to say. And he also said that he said nothing that God did not tell him to say. That makes the word of Christ the word of God. Then he called attention to his works that proved that he was sent by God. There was one Jew who recognized that. We read about that in John chapter 3. A man named Nicodemus who said, no one can do these things except God be with him. That man had logic. He saw the works, and he knew that it was humanly impossible to do the miracles that Jesus was doing, and he concluded that he must have come from God, and that man was a Pharisee. Now, either Jesus' miracles were a farce, or they are true, and if they are true, then he is who he claimed to be. And if he is that, he is my Lord and my God. And that's the decision the people were asked to make. Jesus asks that. He never watered down his own identity. He was bold about who he was. And to say any less than he said about himself would not have been truthful. He had to say what he said about himself, because it was the truth. In regard to being the Savior of the world, Jesus said this in John 8:24, I told you that you would die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. Here's a man who came to deal with the sin problem. Now this is plain language, and so is John chapter 8, verse 42, where he said, I proceeded and came forth from God. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. You see, that's plain speech, and they are asking him to speak plainly. Well, they haven't been listening. They are too prejudiced against Jesus. So in John chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus answers the Jews so that they will be without excuse. He said, I told you, and you do not believe. I want to call attention to something at this point. We've been teaching the Gospel of John for a number of months. And throughout that time, there has been an emphasis on one word, believe. And here it is again in verse 25. Jesus said, I told you, and you do not believe. He could have said, I told you, and you're not good enough, or you're not righteous, or you're not religious enough. But Jesus was always concerned about whether a person believed him or not. Now, in saying this, Jesus lets them know that they have a serious problem. It is not the lack of information about Jesus that's their problem. Their problem is spiritual, not intellectual. Listen to how we explained it to them in John chapter 8, verses 46 and 47. If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. Ah, that's a test. And he continued, the reason that you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Now, what's their root problem? It's the lack of faith. Not only had Jesus spoken the Father's words, but he had also proved that he was the Father's Son. He did it by the works which he did for God's glory. It's one thing to say that you are something. It's another to prove it, and Jesus did prove it. And that, again, I remind you, is the reason why John wrote this gospel. It's found at the end of chapter 20, where John writes in many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That tells us that the signs were intended to be a proof so that people would be convinced. People, that is, who need facts. But once they have the facts, they can do what? The only thing that God is waiting for people to do, to believe in the Christ, and that brings eternal life. When you believe in him, you are honoring Christ in a magnificent way. Because believing in him means that you believe he is capable and able to give us life eternal and to keep us from perishing. That's very honoring to Christ. And to do less than that is to dishonor him, because it implies that he doesn't have credibility and therefore you have serious questions about whether he can save you. Jesus proved that he was the Son of God by the works which he did. Now this refers to his miracles. They were not empty signs. They bore witness to the bond between the Son and the Father. And they are a special testimony, as he expressed in John chapter 5, verse 36. But the testimony which I have, Jesus said, is greater than that of John. For the work that the Father has granted me to accomplish, these very works which I am doing, bear me witness that the Father has sent me. Here again, we have the proof of who he is and who sent him. The Gospel of John gives evidence that Jesus is who he claimed to be, so you would believe and get eternal life. John's epistles, on the other hand, were written to believers, so they would know how to live their new life. Our 12 takes on John's epistles will promote your fellowship with God and with other believers. Write for our free tape brochure that tells you how to order tapes on John's epistles. And be sure to ask also for our free booklet on Heaven's Password. It will point the way to God. It's free. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calipota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.